We read from Holy Scripture in Psalms 127 and 128. Two Psalms that speak of the blessedness and joy of family life. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 22 says, Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. And Proverbs chapter 17, verse 25, A foolish son is a grief to his father, and bitterness to her that bare him. Lord's Day 39 of the Heidelberg Catechism, we have the Reformed teaching on the fifth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother. And the question is this, what doth God require in the fifth commandment? And the answer that I show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother, and all in authority over me, and submit myself to their good instruction and correction with due obedience, and also patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. Children, little children, adolescents, teenagers, young people, you should listen very carefully this morning. The fifth commandment is God's commandment for children. Yes, it concerns the behavior towards all in authority. But God singles out the relationship of children to parents as the example, not only, but as the most important relationship in which honor and respect must be shown to those in authority. We've come this morning to the second table of God's law, which has to do with our horizontal relationships. In the first commandment, first table of the law, in the first four commandments, we've looked at our vertical relationship, how we should behave towards God, and especially this, how we should love God. And now in the second table, we look at how we should love other human beings, how we should love the neighbor. And as God begins to talk about human relationships, He begins with the home, which is the most basic relationship and unit in society. And he begins with this relationship, the relationship of children to to their parents. Now, every one of us lives in relationships, and every relationship in which we live fits into this context of authority and submission. At work, at school, in society, when you're driving your car, or when you go to the courthouse, in government, in every area of life, is authority and submission. And that's because God has created an orderly world, and even the world after the fall still comes under God's order, and this is God's order for human relationships, authority and submission. Otherwise, there's anarchy, everyone is a law to himself, and there's chaos in society. And so in this second table of the law, God shows us, first of all, that He loves us, that He cares for us. He guards us against sins that others may commit against us, and He guards us against sin in our own hearts that we might commit, which would destroy ourselves and our souls. You see that not only in the fifth commandment, but in every commandment. In the fifth commandment, God safeguards human relationships and authority. In the sixth commandment, God safeguards life. Thou shalt not kill. And He forbids everything and anything that might destroy or tend towards the destruction of human life. In the seventh commandment, God protects, God safeguards marriage and the relation of husband and wife. And He says, thou shalt not commit adultery. In the eighth commandment, God safeguards the possessions that He's given us. Thou shalt not steal. And He says, I've given property to each human being, and I distribute that according to my providence. And you must be content with that which I've given you, and you must not covet or steal that which I've kept back from you. God protects our hearts and our possessions. In the ninth commandment, God protects our name, and God protects truth. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. The neighbor has a name and a reputation, and so do you. And as God's child, God cares about your name and reputation. And God cares that you not destroy the name and reputation of others. So He safeguards you with this ninth commandment. And the tenth shows us that He safeguards our hearts. Thou shalt not covet. Concerned about what goes on inside of you, in your heart. And by His law, He provides this safeguard. Now, we see God's protection then of us in the law, and His love for us in the law. And the believer looks at the law not as something with all these safeguards that hems him in, but he sees what God requires as something that he desires, because in the law also, we show our love for God. And that's true in this second table of the law as well. It's about human relationships, but it's about love for the neighbor for God's sake. Not because he deserves it, but for God's sake. Because God has put you in relationships with others. In the Old Testament, the summary of the law is this in Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, and we read it, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. And Jesus expands on that in the New Testament. He says, this is the summary of the law, and thy neighbor as thyself. And all that's included in love for God, because you love the neighbor for God's sake. In 1 John 4, verse 20, if any man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. You can't say that you love God if you don't love your neighbor. Because you don't love your neighbor because of who he is, but because of God who's put him in your path. That's clearly demonstrated here in the fifth commandment. It says we must submit, obey, honor parents, and then this, patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities, since not since they're my parents, but since it pleases God to govern me by their hand. We love for God's sake. And this is the whole law. God loves me. God loves us, His people. God protects us. God leads us to a knowledge of sin and to Jesus Christ through the law. And then as we look at the law, we see it as the perfect law of liberty. And we say, we desire that which God does require because we love Him. Now this morning we're going to focus in the fifth commandment. And I said, children, listen carefully. We're going to focus this morning especially on that relationship of children to parents. But there are applications to every area of life, and you should make those applications. What will be said about the attitude that children should have towards parental authority is the attitude that every one of us should have towards every sphere of authority, to authority in the workplace, to authority in society, to authority in politics, to authority in the church, in the office bearer. We need to make those applications not only so that we keep this commandment, but if we expect children, our children, to keep this commandment of God, they must see in us the same respect for the authority that God has put over us. And that applies even in the home to the authority of husband over wife. Children need to see respect and honor in their parents for authority. They learn specially from the example of parents. So the fifth commandment, honoring parental authority. And let's notice three things: the positive character of this commandment, the specific duties in this commandment, and then the blessed promise. Honoring parental authority, the fifth commandment. Its positive character, its specific duties, and its blessed promise. Last week we looked at the fourth commandment, which says, remember the Sabbath day. And we noted last week that that was a positive commandment. And we said that there are two in the law like this. All the other ones say, thou shalt not. And God forbids behavior in all the commandments except for these two, the fourth and the fifth. And we noted that that was because it's in these two spheres of our life, in the church, which is connected with the Sabbath day, and now this morning in the home, it's in those two spheres of our life especially that God blesses us so abundantly. We saw last week some of the blessings of the Lord's Day, and that there's great incentive to keep the Sabbath day holy because of what God gives to us in the Sabbath. Now this morning, as God comes in the fifth commandment, it's very similar. He doesn't come with a forbidding word in the fifth commandment and say, children, thou shalt not dishonor, thou shalt not curse, thou shalt not disobey, thou shalt not speak evil of, thou shalt not talk back to thy parents. But he puts it very positively. Children, honor your father and your mother. That's a great privilege. To have parents to honor is a great privilege. A couple of weeks ago, I went with the fifth grade class from Heritage to the Capitol. We were touring the Capitol, and the governor was in her office. We stood outside the governor's office, and the tour guide stalled the tour, and the children made noise, hoping that the governor would hear and that she would come out, because the children knew, and we all knew, it would be a great privilege for us to stand in the presence of the governor and to honor the governor for the place of respect and honor that God has given her. It's an honor, it's a privilege to be able to stand in the presence of and to give honor to the governor. So in the home, children, it's a great privilege to have parents whom you can honor and whom you can respect. God says very positively in the fifth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother. I've given you the gift of parents in a godly home. Now, appreciate that what I've given you in the home. And that positive character of the fifth commandment is there in the fifth commandment, not only in that first word, that first command, which is positive, but it's there at the end of the commandment as well. The apostle in Ephesians 6 calls this the first commandment with promise. God says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And in Ephesians 6 verses 1, 2, and 3, the Apostle Paul says, now children, that's a reason to honor your parents and to submit to them and to obey them. God attaches a promise. He promises you something. As you show honor to your parents. That's very positive. That's an incentive to obey, to honor parental authority. Now, as we talk about the fifth commandment, we are talking about the home. And we said that when God begins to talk about human relationships, He begins with the home. It's the basic unit of society. In the beginning, what did God create? Well, in the beginning, God created a heaven and an earth. And then He created a man and a woman. And He married them. And He created a home. And He created that home to worship Him. That was the basic unit of society. A family worshiping God. Now every child here comes from a Christian home, which is a family that worships God, like the first family of Adam and Eve. Cain and Abel came and they worshiped God. And every child here, born in the covenant, children, you have the privilege of being in a home that God has created to worship Him. This is how God made it in the beginning. This is how God has made it for you. And it's a great privilege to be in such a Christian home. Now we read in Psalm 127 and 128 about the blessedness of the Christian home. God gives us Christian homes because He intends us to, as the fifth commandment puts it in Deuteronomy 5, He intends for things to go well with us. He puts us in a Christian home so that we may have blessedness, which is joy in our life. Joy from the rich relationships that are established in a Christian home. In Psalm 127 and 128, God talks about that. Psalm 127, He talks to parents about the blessing of having children in the home. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is His reward. They're a great gift. Children are a joy to parents. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. But Psalm 128 is even clearer. Psalm 128 is a psalm about godliness and obedience. It begins this way, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, the man who keeps God's commandments, who loves God, who believes, who fears God, will receive the blessing of God. And then the question is, what is the blessing that God will give to that man that obeys and that fears Him? And Psalm 128 says this, thou shalt be happy, it shall be well with thee, verse 2, and this is how, in your wife and in your children, verse 3, thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. This is how God will bless the one that fears Him. And verse 4, reiterates or emphasizes that, behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The home, the family, is a place of great blessing. It's connected with the church. Thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life, and thou shalt see thy children's children. Covenant blessings in generations. This is how God will make a man, a woman who fears Him, happy. The home is a place of blessed privilege. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 6 demonstrates that too, and it looks at it from two points of view. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 6, children's children are the crown of old men. It's looking at it from the point of view of a grandparent who looks at his children and their children. And children are a great blessing. They're the crown. In all of his life, he says, what is it that gives me joy that I find to be the reward of my life? The emblem, the most important thing, the jewel. Well, it's children's children. But Proverbs 17, verse 6 also looks at it from the point of view of children. The second part of the verse, and the glory of children are their fathers. The word glory there means boasting. The glory of children, the thing in which children should boast, the thing in which children find their delight is their parents. The glory of children are their fathers. Maybe you've heard it before, and there's nothing more wonderful to hear than children speaking highly of their parents, little children, having great confidence in their parents' strength and protection and care and love, so that they say, well, my dad, my mom, or grown children praising their parents for the godliness that their parents exhibited in their raising and instruction when they were children. The glory of children is their parents, is their fathers. And so the home is a place of great blessing, not only for parents and their children, but for children also in their parents and children. You should see that this morning. Now, we know that that's not true for every family, is it? Ordinarily, the home is a place of security. The home is a place of friendship. The home is a place of love. The home is a place of acceptance. The home is a place where you can be yourself and others will care and understand, and they won't mock you and tease you because you're different. You fit. You belong in the home. That's really the first blessing that comes from the home. Friendship. But it's not that way in every home, is it? Some homes are battleground. Some homes are stewing pots of animosity. We find the reason for that in the Scriptures in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 33. God blesses the habitation of the just, but the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked. And true friendship, this blessing, true friendship comes in our homes. But first, there's this friendship with God between the members of the home and God. God's blessing comes not just on any home, not just on any family, but God's blessing comes on the home and family that fears Him. God establishes, or there are established lifelong spiritual fruitful relationships between siblings. There's nothing in all the world that you could appreciate more than that. Close relationship with siblings, brothers, sisters. God makes that the fruit of a home that fears Him. Begins with God, doesn't it? God is the God of family. God is the God of covenant, Father and Son, fellowshipping in the Spirit, and God enjoying a perfectly rich, unified covenant life in Himself and taking us, the Bible says, into that family life. We are of the household of faith. We're of the family of God. He's our Father. Jesus is our older brother. And then that love, that unity is reflected, shed abroad by the Spirit in the homes of believers. And that blessed friendship is the result. It doesn't come automatically. It doesn't come in every home. It's the fruit of the work of God in His people. So there's the first blessing of the Christian home, friendship. And then the other one is this, salvation. Salvation. The blessing of the Lord is on the house of His people. The home is the place of salvation. God saves families. God saves believers and their children in their generations. And the home is the environment in which a child is reared unto saving faith. Now that's not automatic. Doesn't mean salvation for every child. But it's the sphere of God's blessing. And as believers, fear the Lord in the instruction and example that they give to their children. They can expect their children in old age to be children's children who will praise and bring glory to them. And the home is not only the place where salvation comes, but the home is the place where salvation blessings are experienced. What are the blessings of salvation? Well, we think about them and we know that they're the blessings that come through Jesus Christ, of especially two, forgiveness and holiness, justification and sanctification, the great blessings that the Spirit brings from the cross to God's people. And I say the home is the place where those things are experienced. Forgiveness experienced in relationships where people know forgiveness from God in Jesus Christ. Holiness expressed in living by people filled with the Holy Spirit who have a desire to live in separateness, in sanctification, in holiness unto God. The home is the place of the experience of salvation. The home is a blessed place. And so very positively, God says in the fifth commandment to children, honor thy father and thy mother. It's a great blessing to you to have such a home. Not everybody has that kind of a home. Today, more than half of the children in society have experienced a broken home. Parents who hate each other, who don't live with each other, who use the children to fight with each other, and the children are caught in the middle. And the children don't know which way to go, and they don't know what love is anymore, and they don't know what forgiveness is. And they don't see an example in their parents of holiness. There's no respectability in their parents. Children, God's given you a great thing, a great blessing in the homes He's given you. And so He says, honor your father and your mother. Now, as we come to the specific duties of the fifth commandment, let's notice that when God addresses this fundamental relationship and unit in society and lays down the duties for that unit, the home, He speaks to the children. Now that's interesting, because it's not that there aren't duties for parents in the home, and it's not that the duties of parents aren't important. They're very important. Parents are called to provide for their children, not only physically, but spiritually also. Parents need to instruct their children, to discipline and correct their children, to be, above all things, an example to their children. These are fundamental duties of parents in the home, but God in the fifth commandment doesn't talk about those things. They're implied. The Heidelberg Catechism even recognizes that when it talks about the good instruction and correction of parents. But the danger, the threat to the Christian home, children, young people, listen carefully. The threat to the Christian home comes especially in the hearts, the sinful hearts of the children. And that's because we have that, don't we? A sinful heart. And a sinful heart wants to rebel against God-appointed authority. Yes, there's the danger always of abusive authority. That's the other danger in connection with this relationship, that parents will abuse and use the authority that God's given them in a very selfish way. But this law, this commandment which God gives to Israel, He gives to His people, He gives to Christian homes. He gives to Christian homes that recognize the authority of God and that God has invested that authority in parents. He gives this authority to, He gives this commandment to the Christian home where there is good instruction and correction. And the danger, the threat, is in the hearts of the children. So children, you need, when we talk about behavior in the home, you need to realize that the godliness of the home rests very much on you. It's not the behavior of the parents that creates the atmosphere in the home, but it's the responses of the children to their parents that creates the atmosphere in the home. Now, what are the specific duties? The Heidelberg Catechism lists for us six different duties, specific duties for children toward their parents. And let's remember, this applies to other authorities of relationship, of other relationships of authority also. The first one is this, and it's the one in the fifth commandment, honor, that I show all honor to my father and mother. God says, honor thy father and thy mother. He doesn't say obey. He doesn't say submit. He uses this word, honor. What is that? Well, in the original, the word honor means heavy. And it means this, that your parents should be considered by you as heavy. Not in the literal sense, so that they're overweight, but in this sense, that you view them as weighty personalities, important people. And that word honor is the same one that's used in relationship to God when it talks of Him as a God who's worthy of praise. God is a weighty personality. God is one who deserves reverence and honor for who He is. And God invests His honor in parents. Parents come in the home in the place of God. And the obedience, the respect, the honor that's due to God, children, you must show to your parents. They stand in God's place in the home. It used to be only 100-150 years ago that in Christian homes there was very visible respect shown for parents by the children. And by visible I mean every single behavior of the child in the presence of its parent reflected honor. The children were sitting in a room, reading a book, for example, and father walked into the room. The children would rise in respect till father was seated and then sit again. A little while ago, we watched the funeral of Gerald Ford on television, and we saw the respect that was given him in the watches, the guards. the kind of respect like that that children once showed for their parents very visibly. Now, I'm not saying that's what we need to practice, that's the kind of thing we need to practice in our homes, but it has to do with the attitude of the heart. We live in a day and age where there's no honor, where there's no respect for authority anymore. There's a president in our country, and we have a media that goes after him at every turn. And the message that's given to the public is, this man doesn't deserve any of your honor or respect. Wherever you can find something with him, go after him, go after him. And it's bred into the minds of the people. No need to show respect for this man. He's just a man like you. Look at all his faults. Look how weak he is. Look at his policies. Nothing's working. There's no respect for authority. That's not what God demands. That's not what God demands in society or in the home. Honor. Give weight. See as important the parents, the father and the mother that God has given you. Children, young people, do you honor your father and your mother? In the attitudes in your heart, in the way you respond to them, the words that come out of your mouth about them, the way that you talk about them. Children, do you honor your father and your mother? The second thing that the Catechism says that's involved in this commandment, the specific duties, is love. That I show all honor, love. Love to my father and my mother. That's included in the honor of your parents, that you love them. And now this isn't the love of equals. It's not like the love that your parents showed to each other as husband and wife. It's not like the love that you showed to your brothers and sisters. But it's the love for superiors. And that's a different kind of love than a love for equals. You love them for God's sake. You love them because God has put them in a place of authority over you. And there's something constant about this love. It's a love that never changes. It's a love that never dies. It's a love that's always there. Respect and honor that's lifelong for the parents that God has given you. It's not a love conditioned by their behavior, but their weaknesses and infirmities notwithstanding, you love your parents. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the Bible describes for us the behavior of love. And this is very applicable in the relationship, the love that children must show for their parents. Love, charity, suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. It doth not behave itself unseemly. It seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinks no evil. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things, endureth all things, charity never faileth. That's the kind of love that children need to have for parents. Love believes the best about the other. Children, you believe the best about your parents. You love them. That means you believe the best about your parents. Sometimes they're going to make a judgment in your case that you don't like, a decision that feels like it's against you. You believe the best about your parents in that case because they know the best for you. Your vision is so short-sighted. You think of today and tomorrow and next month and not much beyond there. But your parents are thinking years. They're thinking maturity. They're thinking of you growing up in the fear of the Lord and loving the Lord. Your love for them will believe the best about them as they make decisions for your life. Love understands. Bob is able to look at things from the point of view of the other children, young people. Because you love your parents, you'll put yourself in their position. You'll even look at yourself through their eyes. What do my parents have to deal with? And you'll think of yourself and what they had to put up with yesterday, last week, and your behavior. And you'll understand things from their point of view. You'll see the weight of the responsibility that they carry. And you'll see that they can't do this. They can't run an orderly home without your submission and your cooperation and your obedience. Love forgives. You'll patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities. Love covers a multitude of sins. Your parents are going to be sinners. They're going to be sinners in their behavior towards you. They have personality weaknesses. But think about yourself. And all the things in you that parents have lived with and overlooked and cared for and nursed you through from the day you were born. Love forgives. And love is vocalized. Love expresses itself. How long ago since you said, young people, thank you to your mother for a meal? Or I love you, Dad, Mom. Thanks for what you've done for me today. Your mother's probably aching to hear that from you and aching to throw her arms around you. But you won't express it. Love expresses itself. And then this too, love is honest. Love is honest. I'm thinking of the things that I've just said, and you feel it. Yep, that's me. I don't forgive my parents like I should. I don't understand my parents like I should. I don't express my love to them like I should. I'm not patient with them like I should be. I'm quickly judging them and I don't believe the best about them and their decisions as I should. What do I do? Love is honest. Repentance. Go home and talk with them about it. This is what I've done wrong. I want to honor father and mother. Forgive me. Help me. Love is honest. So the second thing is love. The third thing in the catechism is fidelity, that I show all honor, love, and fidelity. That word means faithfulness. Has the idea of commitment. When we think of faithfulness, when we think of commitment, we think of marriage, and a husband and wife are married, and they are commanded to be faithful, to show fidelity toward one another. And that's a commitment which is lifelong. And this is what it means here, fidelity. Commitment, involvement. Children, you're part of a home. Young people, teenagers, you're part of a family. Faithfulness to your parents means you'll play your part in the family. You can't expect only to be fed in the family, to be given, to take. But you must give. You must be involved. You must be part of the life of the family. The teenager wants to be independent. He wants to say, well, I want to do my thing. I want to be myself. And I don't want to tell Dad and Mom, little brother, little sister about this. God has said, you're in that family. You be faithful to that family. Imagine now, if your mother decided, I'm not going to show fidelity to my husband or to my children anymore, and she became independent, and she didn't do your laundry, and she didn't make your supper, and she cooked herself a little breakfast, but you were all left to fend for yourself.
day in and day out.
God puts all of you in the family. Fidelity, commitment, involvement is the behavior He expects from children too. And this is something that doesn't stop when you leave home. It lasts. We read in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 22. Hearken unto thy father that beget thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. There's a commitment that's required for life to parents. Genesis 47, verse 12, you read these beautiful words concerning Joseph. And Joseph nourished his father, his old father. Joseph cared for him. Joseph visited with him. Joseph spoke with him. Joseph brought his children to him. He didn't despise his father in his old age. Jesus from the cross expressed the same sentiment when he said to John, Son, behold thy mother, about Jesus and about Mary and to Mary. Woman, behold thy son. He cared even in his death about his mother. The fourth thing that the Catechism mentions is submission, that I show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother and submit myself to their good instruction and correction. Submit. What does it mean to submit to your parents? It means, first of all, that you listen to your parents. Dad, when mom says your name, you stop and you listen. That's submitting to your parents. And you should stop, look at them, listen to what they have to say. That's honor. That's submitting to your parents. And it doesn't matter at that moment what you would like or what you're doing. Father or mother has said something. You need to listen to them. You're not in charge. They are. And then what they say, you have to follow. You have to submit to it. You have to obey what they've told you to do. Their good instruction, you have to learn from what they teach you. Their correction, they've disciplined you for something that you shouldn't have done when you were naughty. You have to submit to that. It's a picture. Children and parents, and we call God our Father, and we must submit to God our Father. And children growing up in the Christian home, submitting to parents is a picture of what every believer has to do to God. God doesn't always bring nice and pleasant things into the life of His people. We have to learn to submit sometimes to the heavy hand of God. And children in the home receiving training in that atmosphere for faith and trust in God in times of trial. The next thing that the Catechism mentions is obeying them with due obedience. Obey means immediately, automatically, willingly, without complaint. Sometimes children will obey this way, that they'll hear what father or mother has said, and they'll shuffle into the next room to do what they were told. Well, sometimes if they're a little older and they're teenagers, they'll hear what they've said and they'll say, all right, I'll do it, and they go out angry. That's not obedience. Well, sometimes they'll even do this. Outwardly, they'll obey what they're told to do, but in their hearts, saying, I don't want to do this. This isn't right for me to do. And they disobey their parents in their hearts. That's not obedience. Let me tell you what obedience is. Children, you've all ridden in the car with your dad driving. Your dad holds the steering wheel. Obedience is like the steering wheel. And dad turns it just a little, and what happens? The car obeys. It turns. That's obedience. Sometimes it's slight. He just changes lanes. Sometimes obedience is like that. It's easy. But sometimes he needs to go around a very sharp corner or swerve to miss something. And then especially he wants the car to obey, and so it's very sudden. And the car obeys. That's obedience. Doing just as you're told, when you're told, by father or mother. You should pray for that kind of obedience in your heart, that kind of response in your heart to your parents. The sixth thing that the Catechism mentions is patiently bearing with weaknesses and infirmities of parents. We've talked about that. Let's mention one other. You must pray for your parents. Children, you're Christians. And there are two things that characterize Christians, two main characteristics of every Christian. A Christian is somebody who loves the other. And a Christian is someone who prays. And you put those two things together. A Christian is one who prays for those whom he loves. Children, pray for your parents, that God will give them strength to be the parents that they should be. That covers the basic duties of the fifth commandment. The Bible has more to say than just those things. It talks about the speech that children should have towards parents. They may curse their parents. They may make jokes about their parents. They may take the name of their parents in vain. Talks about actions towards parents. Proverbs chapter 30 talks about the eye that mocks its father. The smallest action, just the eye. The ravens, the eagles will pluck it out. The ravens will eat it. The Bible even says that children are responsible for the emotional state of their parents. Proverbs 17:25, a foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bear him. A disobedient son brings grief and sorrow to a parent. Maybe you've seen that in a parent. Maybe you see that in your parent. Your dad, he was always such a happy, cheerful person. But now his complexion is so downcast and he's so sad. Is it because of you? Is it because of your behavior? How sad. What a burden to bear that you've brought that on your dad or your mom. So honor, submit, obey. When? Well, we must patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities. So the answer is always, always. Even when they don't seem to understand. Even when you don't think they get it. Even when you think their judgment isn't right. There's only one exception. If they tell you to sin, then you need not obey them. Otherwise, always honor, respect, love, fidelity to father and mother. The Bible gives us illustrations of that. There was a man named Noah, and after the flood, Noah became drunk. And you think, well, of course his children would laugh at him and make a joke of him. Look at him. What a foolish old man. But there was one son, wasn't there, who laughed at his father, and what happened? The curse came on him and his children, didn't it? Think of the sons of David. Think of David's sins. And David's sins that brought misery into his family. His adultery, and so on. There were three sons, weren't there, that rebelled against father's authority. They all start with A. Absalom, Adonijah, and the other one, Ammon. And they're all killed because they showed disrespect, dishonor for their father. And then there's the example of Jesus. when he's 12 years old, he goes up to the temple with his parents and they find him there after he'd been lost for 3 days. And his answer is, I must be about my father's business. And they say, come with us to Nazareth. He could have argued, couldn't he? Well, but this is more important for me to be doing now. Here I'll be more useful in the temple teaching others. But we read, he went down with them, even though they didn't understand. And he was subject to them. Because this was Father's will and Father's business for him as a child. To be subject to his parents, even when they didn't understand. There's a promise, a blessed promise with this commandment. It shall be well with thee, and thy days shall be long in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now we know that that's not perfectly literal. It doesn't mean everybody who's a good child will live to be old. But it does mean this. It will be well with thee. That is, those who honor parents and are obedient to parents will find happiness in this life too. The opposite is certainly true. A disobedient child, a rebellious teenager brings only misery on himself. And children, teenagers, you've got to deal with that rebellious heart now. You can't let that sin develop in your life. The child who doesn't deal with rebellion and sin in their hearts and in their attitude now, the child who rebels against parents, rebels against church, is outside the church and brings themselves into the ultimate misery of hell because of rebellion. That's the blessing. That's the real content of the promise here. Eternal life. It shall be well with thee, God said, to the Israelites in the land which I give you. And that was Canaan, a type. This is the type, heaven. Every child in a Christian home who honors and respects those parents can know this promise, life eternal, is the reward. Amen. Father, we pray that we may have godly, obedient children, and that we may have hearts as children that love to serve Thee and that are obedient to our parents and show them honor and respect. For Thy name's sake and Thy glory and peace in our homes, we pray. Amen.